As Carl usually liked to surprise me, Ahmed, you are going to preach about this one. I said, yeah, good, lovely. I go and read it through. I said, I think I need a year or more to just cover this. And which aspect of it to cover is another big debate. But I need to, as I always do, I need to put a good foundation of what I'm going to share today. And after that, in 3 minutes, and after that, we'll have a few minutes to share about what this passage is all about. Right. One big piece of information for you. I hope it's not an information. I hope it's real. When you pray, God listen.
Amen.
Thank goodness. I am Egyptian. You forgot that, yes? Come on. Yes. Thank you, Graham. I like that. Right. When you pray, what happened? God listen.
Amen.
Yes? Right. Do you believe it? I'll tell you something. It might be a surprise for you. The problem is, sometimes we don't. I'll give you an example. And a biblical example. And there's so many of them there. You remember Peter? Get arrested in the book of Acts. Put in a prison. The church start praying so hard. And really, really, really praying. And really praying overnight. And suddenly, the door knocked. The little girl ran away to open the door. It's Peter. She slammed the door in his face and ran back again. It's Peter in the door. What did he react? It is his angel. It's your mind goes wrong. You are imagining things, little girl. Do you think he is behind bars, 3-4 doors, all the way down in the jail? He will never come back. He will never recover from this one. It's Romans we are talking about. But what happened? Church pray overnight, and they didn't believe that he will do it. Another example for you. Back to the Old Testament. The Hebrews went to Egypt. 400 years of slavery. They cried to the Lord. Right? I heard, I'm sending Moses. Then strike. Get them in front of the Red Sea. Open the Red Sea. Do this, do that. We are up in the desert. What we do? Why you bring us here? Oh, we prayed, you listened, but it's not what we really want. Here for you guys. You can pray, he listen, he respond, but maybe it's not the way you want it. But he does respond. Right? Third one. I didn't say anything about Colossians yet. The third one. Third one is, Paul wrote how many letters? Come on. How many letters Paul wrote? Loads. How many? Come on, guys. 14. Come on, Bible college people. 14 of them. Right. One of them is the Romans. One is the Gospel of Paul. They called them. Yeah. 13? Not 14? Just count them? Maybe Hebrew one is this. Yes. Okay. Right. He wrote the book of Romans one. And all the theologians said it's his gospel. This is the fifth gospel. But some other he wrote to churches, some other he wrote to people, individuals. What I want to say in that one, and this gave me your attention in that one, really, really careful. When he speaks to individual, either to do with leadership, or there is an issue there, he won't release this guy from it or help him to do something about it. But when he wrote to the church, he wrote to the whole entire church. He didn't address this to the leader of Colossians or Corinthians, to the whole entire church. What I am getting from this one? Last 18 months, you have been locked down. You have been in COVID. You have been doing it by yourself, alone. Maybe the 18 years as well. You are sitting alone. You feel like, oh dear, I am fighting this by myself. And in the top of this, they tell us social distance. They tell us you are not going anywhere. You are working through Zoom. There is a screen, not social distance. There is massive distance. And what happened is you felt you are in your own. But time happened, and there is a shift happening that we want to talk to the whole church. We need to address the church. We need to talk to the church. We need that shift. We need that breakthrough. We need something you cannot, William, do it by yourself. No, let's William and the rest of the church do it together. And here is the thing. Thing is, there is certain limit for your strengths individually, and there is higher, bigger ceiling you can reach if we are all together. Three things before I start. You pray, God listen. You need to believe that He listen and He act. Your prayer is not going in the air. He's not listening to you. He is listening and act, but He might act not the only ordinary way you are thinking of. It might be different. The other thing is there is a shift in the spirit. We need to do it together. We need to do it together. Right? Here we go. Let's go to Ephesians now. Right. If you didn't go to Bible college, if you never read the Bible all, I have a good news for you. This five verses we read is the whole entire Bible in five verses. Yeah, Colossians 1 from 9 to 14. Five verses is a whole entire Bible. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 5. Yes, 5. I'm calculating correct. Right. Five verses, whole entire Bible. You don't believe me, yes? You do. I show you. Okay. Right. I have my great helper, Oli. Come on. Verse 14. And we'll do it backwards. To whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Right. Before this, the whole entire Bible said from Genesis, go and multiply, be fruitful. He said that. This is what we are going to discover now, how to be fruitful, because this is what the whole thing about. Right. You are redeemed because of Jesus. Good news for you, yes?
Yes.
You believe that, yes?
Yes.
Right. I will give you a very good key if you are not listening to me. A very good key. Do you know when Paul said, I would like you to have gift of the Spirit and prophesy and do this, and the best thing is all of it, prophecy and all this. When is the last time you prophesy over your life? You can pray, yes? Lord, bless me. He will. But if you prophesy over life, over your life, is a total different matter. You are taking control of it. When you prophesy over you, your life, your personal life, other people's life, you are taking a bit deeper than God bless me. He will bless you. But if you take another act of declaration of situation in your life, is a different story. Meaning, I am redeemed. I can say it two ways. Thank you for redeeming my life. Or I am really, really redeemed. Yeah. Meaning, there is no power of hell over my life. Are you with me? Come on. Yes. Switch it on. If you prophesy, it is different than you pray it. If you say it, he will bless you. But if you take over this land in your life, it's something different. You gain it. You control it. You have it. I am redeemed in Jesus. Second verse, 13. Right. Rescued from the dominion of darkness. And what happened? Brought me into the kingdom of the Son he loves. The New King James says it in a little bit different, which is fine. But what you can prophesy and declare over your life now? I have been redeemed, yes. But I have been rescued from the dominion of the darkness. Therefore, there is nothing, have no power over you. Right. You be sitting in your this last 18 months battling a lot of stuff because the evil one love doing this, play your mind lovely, and just try to get you very nice negative thoughts, and you've done this, and you've sinned against God this, and you are not holy because of this, and feel like my love with Jesus is absolute crap. My relationship with him is rubbish because he is lovely. You know those arrows the Bible talk about them? And he just keep, he doesn't come to you because he cannot afford come to you. He cannot do it. But all what he do is just target few arrows to your mind, to your brain. And okay, let's get this bit down, this person down. How? Let's give him some negative thoughts. Some all the stuff he done and get him a little bit of guilt. And let's just do something here to do this with this guy. What happened? The dominion of darkness, because he cannot hold of you, he's trying another way to get hold of you. Yes, true. But I have good news for you. You can stand, prophesy, declare over your life, there is no dominion of darkness can take over me because I am have been not transferred. I totally transported to the kingdom of Jesus. Get it? And here is the thing. You can eschew some of this guilt. Or you can eschew kingdom of God. What I'm eschewing in the kingdom of God? That I am loved, I am redeemed, I am his son, I am part of this kingdom, I am victorious, I am. Or I am guilty. I done this, I done that, I done that, I done that. What happened is, how are you depressed? How you feel? Anxious, weary. What is it? Which one you are declaring over your life. This is what Paul prays so far. All this is a prayer of Paul. What you praying over your life and what we as a church praying as a church over our lives and over our city. Redeemed, part of the kingdom. Let's get the following verse. I love that one. Did you see this word? Qualified. I'm qualified to be a teacher. I'm qualified to be an engineer, and I'm qualified to do some work in people's home. Qualified. Nobody can take that away from me. This is my status. Maybe. But this is what I'm qualified to do. I'm married. Can be a status or is real. Say it again. Yes? I am married. It can be a status in my wedding certificate. Or what is your status? Married. Or I am married. I know my wife well. I share the life with my wife. And I'll tell you now something about that one in a minute. Here it said you share the inheritance of the saint, blah, 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 blah. Good stuff, but there is another word for it. You are partaking. It's not just sharing. You are a partner with him in this. It's different than I am working for this company, but I carry shared in this company. I'm qualified to do this. If I carry shared in the company, it means I can be fruitful in this company. I can bear fruit in this company. I can work hard in this company. It's partnership. You are qualified. You prophesy over your life again. You are qualified to take part and share of this inheritance of the kingdom of God. Another word. It's a good one, that one. I like it. You know, when they said in Micah, not by power, not by might, by my spirit, says the Lord. Paul didn't just, I said, I'm smart. This is what he said. He will enable you to be who you are according to his power and glory. And we can sit on that one, and I can preach for about 20 years to come. Amen. To understand that word, the power of his glory over your life. We can speak here 20 minutes max. But you can take this and revisit and reread and chew on it and experience God on it and pray it through and see that your prayer has been answered, and you will experience the power of his glory over your life. And the key point here, you don't need to imagine it. You just need to go with it. You don't want to imagine what does it mean the power of his glory looks like. You need to go with it. You need to experience day by day, and he will reveal it to you day by day. Therefore, he will strengthen you. He will do the job. It's not by power. It's not by mind. By my spirit, says the Lord. He will do it. He took you in as a son to make you not just qualified to become a son. As simple as this. Therefore, you can be enjoying his power and his glory, and you can practice this with him. Right. Second one. Another one. Right. This is the verse we are having. To live life to please him, according to his will, to bear fruit. This is his idea from Genesis 1. He created Adam and Eve, not to go and play in the garden, to share with him, partnership with him, to name all this creation, and to multiply. Be fruitful. Therefore, when Adam and Eve in the garden, they enjoy the relationship with God. They used to walk in the garden with them. They used to talk with him. They are in the presence. They are with him. Partnership with him. I create all these guys. You need to name all of them. You need to know this. You need to do that. Let's do it together. Partnership. And bear fruit. Multiply. Therefore, when you are in Jesus again, this is what is the invitation over your life, is go and multiply. Simply bear fruit. Simply pleasing him. Simply you walk in his will. In another word, being in his presence. Make sense? Gospel so far. Yes? We didn't have anything else out of it. It's so far as the gospel. Redeemed in Jesus. The power of darkness has nothing to do with us. You are partaker, you are sharing, you are qualified, and you are able to bear fruit. Something I was praying for this morning, and God have a bit of sense of humor. I ask you a question. When you write a text message to someone, when you text someone, what you end up your text with? It depends who you are writing the text to, yes? Kind regards, if you are formal. My wife, the favorite of hers, lots of love and 100 kisses. Some other people, blessings. Another friend, as ever. He ends his message with this. Some other, have a lovely day. Some other, have a good day. Some others have, I don't know, how many things you can have. But I have one for you. A good challenge. King James said this one in a very good way. He said, be fruitful in every good work, and you may increase in the knowledge of God. What do you think if is that your end text message to someone? And instead of have a lovely day, this is what you're going to tell him. Be fruitful in every good work you do, and may you increase in the knowledge of God. Can you do this for me? When you text someone, end this text with this. I'll tell you why in a minute. If you end the text with this, what are you doing? I will do the government thing. Three slogans. Write it, read it, and wait for it. Write it. You are reading it. You are prophesying it when you read it out loud. And you are waiting for this to happen. Habakkuk 2 said the same thing. Get your vision, write it, and run with it. And wait for it to be happened. It's biblical. These three slogans are biblical. Write it, read it, and wait for it to happen. The power of the Word of God, it will be working if you declare it. Otherwise, it will be a book put on the shelf, gathering dust. The power of the Word to create, to speak it out. And if you didn't, it gathered dust. That makes sense? The gospel so far. Last verse. 9. For this reason, I prayed, this is what Paul said, to have more of wisdom and knowledge and spiritual understanding. And this is exactly what Jesus did. He said, I am going, but I am sending you the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of wisdom, understanding, and. The full gospel in 5 verses. Or the whole entire Bible in 5 verses. And if we don't have this, you cannot bear fruit. Three things Helen was sharing about is doing activity, doing this, all those three things. It will happen when we do it together. You cannot do it on your own. My activity today to speak, I will sit in my room, close my door, and speak to myself. It will not work. The activity is to go for a walk. You can go for a walk with God, yes. But if I go with a walk with my friend or family and have a bit of a share and speaking God and prophesying over this city and nation and doing something, it will make a whole big difference. Because me and my family, we're agreeing on this prayer. Me and my friend, we're agreeing in this prayer. We are bearing fruit. Write it, read it, Wait for it to happen. Beginning of this year, Douglas did something really amazing. And Dawn. They gave us a nice jar of lots of 52 verses. Of promises of God. And every week, every Sunday, I get one of these jars and read it through and declare it over my family. Yeah. But I did something interesting with it. That this piece of paper can dust, carrying dust, or go into the dustbin or whatever, or I can create a promising wall in my kitchen. And I start putting them beside each other, create a wall there. And every time I'm making a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, I'm just grabbing, reading it, and declare it over my family and my life. I done that a few years ago. 21 years ago, I was in Malta before I came to England, and I told the Lord, how I'm going to do this next chapter. He wake me up with a verse. I wrote this verse in my kitchen in Malta, bring it with me to England. Still, I have this verse, and still, I am living on that promise. He never stopped. Read it, write it, wait for it. And every day he surprised me with a different way of meeting these promises. Every single day. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, the power of prophetic word over your life, it's really important. Don't stop prophesying over your life. Don't. Speak the word over your life. It can be a blessing or it can be a real word of God, a sword. It will cut through. It will bring things clear to your life. It can be a word or it can be a sword. It can be a word to bless you, good enough, but it can break through. And the good news is, you can do it by yourself to an extent. But when you agree with somebody else, that's what the Bible said, it will go more. Imagine if we are all as a church, agree it together. Can I invite you to stand up? I don't know what's happening in your life. I don't know exactly what. You won't declare in your life one of the promises God gave you a long time ago. I don't know which one. It can be a word specifically, it was spoken over your life. You can speak it out, prophesy it again over your life. And wait for him to do it. Write it down in front of you. Read it, prophesy it over you, and wait for the Lord to do it. It will bring fruit. It will bring fruit. I will give you a minute. Close your eyes, remember a verse, or remember a promise, and speak it out over your life. Father, you know the heart of every one of us. And you are the one who spoke these promises to us. And we reach out to you today and said, Lord, we speak these promises in your presence. And we will say, let it be, Lord, over our life, what we are expecting, what we are praying for, what we our desire to see what you are doing in our lives. Let it be, Lord, for my brother and sister. Let it be, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a sit down. Thank you.